buzz. Ed, your mic is not on. There is your mic.
Is my mic on now? Hello, Larry.
Hello, I'm back. You know, I heard last week that the show was really dull.
Good morning, everybody. You're tuned to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. I'm Avnoin, your host for the next 2 hours, along with Larry Dive. And Chris, our producer, screener. Our number is 800-850-850 on your Alltel cell phone. It's a free call. And we're sponsored this morning by Computer Renaissance with two great area locations. One is Crabtree. Crossroads Shopping Center. I'll get it straight by the end of the year.
This has only been going on for a year.
And another at North Hills Plaza, across from North Hills Mall, and by Mindspring. And you can reach them at www.mindspring.com or 888-MSPRING. And with us in the studio also is Deborah Ross, Executive Director and Legal Director of ACLU of North Carolina. Good morning, Deborah. And why is that?
Oh,
sorry. No. There it is. Sorry. There it is. Good morning again.
Good morning.
There we go. Okay. Larry, I don't know where you get your information.
About last week's show?
Last week was a
blast. Killer show?
Didn't we have a blast?
See?
It was unbelievable.
Did anyone do the Microsoft minutes?
And actually, at the very end, we said, you know, something is wrong here. What's going on? Oh, Larry is missing. Larry's not here. Oh. No, we missed you.
We missed you. You had a good stand-in in Duffy. He's a funny guy.
And you had fun?
I was with my grandchildren. It was wonderful.
Good.
In the wonderful, wild, wired world of Chicago.
Meaning?
I don't know.
Okay. Fine.
It just sounded good.
Uh-huh. Let's see. We are going to be talking today about...
The internet.
Internet and what kind of internet stuff?
Well, Deborah's here. Once we get her some headset.
Oh, she can hear you.
She can.
Yeah.
So I can go ahead and talk?
Oh, you can talk.
Oh, that's wonderful. Anyway, we're going to be talking about the internet and the legislation that has been before Congress and is now, as I understand, been passed. I don't know if it's been signed yet. Has it been signed?
It's been signed.
President Clinton has signed it. Oh, don't I love it? Called the Communications Decency Act.
He sent you one?
Well, I got a letter I wrote. Being the good citizen that I am, I email my member of Congress regularly and get back regularly response. This was a very nice response about this issue.
You didn't get that through a back door?
No.
I mean, this came from...
This came from my member of Congress's office.
From D.C., not from Hanukkah Lewinsky or anything like that.
Okay.
You got it right. Okay.
This is a G-rated show. We can't say that. Deborah was here. Deborah has called in before about this issue when it first came up, and that is the whole issue of net censorship and what's being called the Child Protection. Let me see. The Child Online Protection Act is another name for it. Or the Federal Internet Censorship Bill, sometimes referred to.
Or son of CDA.
CDA 2 or son of CDA. So Deborah's going to comment on that, and we thought we would devote a lot of the show to the issues of the internet and intellectual property, intellectual freedom, freedom of speech on the internet.
Privacy.
Privacy on the internet. It's clearly the case that the internet is becoming more and more a part of everybody's life. On a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're trying to define what this means to everybody, the laws pertaining to how this is going to affect our lives, we're at a real formative stage. In fact, there's a big battle going on now about domain names. I don't know if you saw this. The Boston Working Group and the group that's headed by Esther Dyson and who's going to control the domain names. That's being debated. So virtually everything about the internet is being debated, and legislation is being proposed, and rules and regulations are being formulated. So
you're tuned to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 800-850-850 on an Alltel cell phone. It's a free call. Deborah, do you see your work and your colleagues' work sort of like escalated from the time when the internet is more used, more...
Well, we certainly get a lot more questions about blocking software and internet censorship. And around the country, the ACLU has been involved in about 10 lawsuits having to do with internet censorship and has won every single one.
Is that, and you attribute
that to the...
One, every single one to what?
To the fact that almost all the laws that are passed that have to do with censoring material on the Internet are unconstitutional. They violate the First Amendment. They're either drafted too broadly, and the problem with all of them is that they don't just apply to children. They apply to adults, too. That's the fundamental problem with every single one of these laws.
Okay, so let's go back, and the argument that I always bring is there's ACLU.
Yes.
There is Congress.
Yes.
These bodies can only dictate or protect or issue edicts, call whatever you want, to the United States.
Right.
The Internet is global.
That's
We took all this smut out of this country and put it offshore somewhere.
Right. Exactly.
Is there a light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, can we really protect our children against something that that is harmful?
Can
we do anything about it by saying, I don't want you to drive 55, but you can get on an interstate in the middle of Raleigh and drive 65. You know, I mean,
you're 100% right. That point was made by the U.S. Supreme Court when they struck down the first CDA law. It was made by Clinton's own Justice Department when they encouraged Congress not to pass this CDA law.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that the Internet is an international medium. And you can't pass a law in the United States that's going to regulate what goes on offshore, and then what happens is you just push things offshore, but people can still get things online. The bottom line is the best way to protect your kids is to pay attention to what they're doing.
Educate them.
Yeah, educate them, watch them, teach them, and not expect laws to do what parents should be doing.
Why are we spending so much time and money to write laws like these that really are meaningless in a way? I mean,
well,
I'm sure they do something, but they're meaningless.
It's all about politics. Politicians like to pass meaningless laws that make people feel good so that they can get reelected. I mean, that's a whole political discussion that we can have another day. But there are a ton of meaningless laws that we have for the same reason.
Why? You don't agree?
Oh, I absolutely agree.
Oh, okay.
I mean, what interests me is that, because I was reading, having done a little bit of homework on this for the show, you know, that this law just passed makes it a federal crime to knowingly communicate for commercial purposes materials harmful to minors.
Only commercially?
That's for commercial purposes.
Jeez.
Oh, I love this. I mean, you can debate each word of this forever and ever.
And again, it's really amazing. If you go to the ACLU website, which is at www.aclu.org, you can download like a 5-page letter that the U.S. Justice Department wrote saying that definition is vague and overbroad. I mean, they know it. Clinton knows
vague. That means that only commercially they can do something to somebody. So if you
But what is commercial?
What is commercial? It's not if you're selling the stuff that's harmful to minors. It's like, you know, what if you're a website that deals with safe sex? You know, and you're commercially saying, These are the things that you can do, and this is where you can buy condoms, and this is a G-rated show, but I can say that, right?
Fine.
This is where you can get information about birth control. This is where you can do these different things. That website, in all likelihood, would be prohibited
under
this law, which incidentally fines people who disseminate this information $50,000 a day.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, that was the second piece. The punishment part of this is a $50,000 a day fine up to 6 months in prison.
We're talking with Deborah Ross, Executive Director and Legal Director of ACLU of North Carolina. You tune to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, pound 850 on your Altel cell phone. If you have any questions for Deborah, here's your chance.
See, another part of this. Now, Deborah represents the ACLU, which has a fine reputation in some circles and less than others. Mm-hmm. But
depends on the day.
Or the hour.
Mm-hmm.
But two other organizations have joined in this lawsuit against this. The Electronic Frontier Freedom Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Electronic Privacy Information Center. Both of those organizations, and also on their websites, which are www.eff.org and www.epic.org, you'll find information about this legislation. But these are two organizations who have been around a long time. What we say,
you don't hear much about them, but they've been around.
I mean, if you see blue ribbons on websites, that's from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. And their concern is exactly this, freedom of information on the web. And they are responsible organizations. They may have a different political bent on some issues than the ACLU, but they all agree that this is bad stuff.
As does the American Library Association.
Oh, they're controversial, aren't they?
Very controversial.
Oh, yes. when it comes to the Internet, what is the most disturbing to the ACLU right now? What is the thing that occupies most of the time of the people that work at the ACLU?
Well, it's really the attempt to criminalize dissemination of information to adults.
Okay.
And then the other thing that is occupying a lot of attention, there was a lawsuit in Virginia. There's a big attempt to force public libraries to put blocking software on the libraries.
Right.
And the ACLU sued in Loudoun County, Virginia, and won a case where the county library was putting blocking software on all of their computers.
Blocking software as in like MitNanny or...
Exactly.
Okay.
And the thing that's really disturbing about that is we don't know who's making this blocking software. The people who make it for a profit. They have their own agendas. There are blocking software companies that censor out political views, keep kids from getting information. There are some that go into the business of doing this based on their political views. And because we don't know what they're censoring out, we don't know what their criteria is, they don't have to go through all the same kind of disclosure that, I mean, there's less disclosure about your blocking software than there is about what's in your cereal.
Yeah, but in all honesty, I never done it, but you can take MitNanny and take the library file, which is just straight words, and have one person go through it, which would probably take them 2, 3, 4 hours.
Right.
And this is what it comes out from the store.
Mm-hmm. But your average...
Then you just add stuff to it.
Right. But your average parent who gets NetNanny is...
Will not do it.
And is unsophisticated about the Internet, doesn't understand that their kid's probably not going into a lot of these areas that are objectionable to the parents. Your average parent who gets the NetNanny just doesn't want to take the time to learn about the technology and teach their kid about the technology. So they're not going to do this intensive investigation about what their NetNanny
will do. We'll get back to NetNanny. Your calls are coming up next right here on 850, The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 98 on 850, The Buzz. Our number again, 860-0850, pound 850 on your Altel cell phone. It's a free call. We have with us in the studio Deborah Ross, Executive Director and Legal Director of ACLU of North Carolina. We're talking about legal issues. Can I say legal issues?
Legal issues for the Internet.
On the Internet. Next hour, we're going to give
away.
A Prima Press book. Microsoft Money 99, fast and easy. Details coming up. All right, let's go back and talk. If anybody out there has any questions about privacy on the Internet, censorship on the Internet, here's your chance to ask the expert. We were talking, when we left, we were talking about NetNanny and that things can get censored. NetNanny still serves a purpose.
Sure.
In my opinion, yeah, libraries should have it.
Libraries should have it?
Any place where you can't have a person sitting with a child at the computer. At home, you don't need it. But in a library, I would say, yeah. But let me go farther and say, I know where you come from when you say other things. I never thought about it. Now I understand that you can censor other things.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody could go through the words, and that's not science,
uh-huh,
and find out what words are being censored, mm-hmm, and filtered out,
mm-hmm,
and say, okay, this one is working right. It is filtering out what it says it's doing. There's no hidden agenda here.
Mm-hmm.
It can be used. I think it's going to help instead of just saying a blanket no to any filtering software. I didn't look at NetNanny when I got it. I didn't go to see if there is a Republican word in there or Democratic word in there that it will filter out.
Mm-hmm.
But you are absolutely right. It can very well happen.
Mm-hmm.
So why not clear it out and make sure that the words are not there, and then everything, say, okay, yeah, this can be used. And then it's out of, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Uh-huh.
And now, instead of government or ACLU telling people what to use and what not to use and how to use it, once you see that it's okay, now leave it in the librarian hands or whoever. But, you know, I just said it.
Right.
And the librarian could do it.
That's right.
Right.
Sheesh.
And whatever they're going to get is going to exclude stuff that they don't intend to exclude,
yeah,
and include stuff that they don't intend to include. There's some real interesting stuff that was submitted to the court through the ACLU that if you just put the word, the three letters, S-E-X, together and you censor out anything that has that, you're going to censor out information about the Mars Explorer, because right, if you put three X's together, Super Bowl, you know, X 30.
Super Bowl 30 goes goodbye.
Right.
Oh no.
So that it's not as simple as all of that, and then what's going to happen is things are going to come through. That really what can't be done through a computer is this judgment function. And we need to teach our kids about judgment, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a way to teach kids about judgment.
I never had any problem with that. But I still think that in certain situations, you need to have somebody, a RoboCop, watching.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, it's not as easy as...
Nothing is... But life is complicated. I mean, our kids sort through a lot of complicated things every day. They go to school and they see all different kinds of people with all different kinds of lifestyles. They, you know, they're at home and parents are more open about all sorts of things with them. And, you know, we need to teach our kids
how to
deal with these things. And there's no reason why, you know, there can't be an area of the library where the kids are, where there are people who come in and out, there's, you know, who look from time to time. You know, I volunteer with a 16-year-old kid who needs some help with school and has, you know, gotten into trouble. And I've taken her to my office and let her just surf the web for as long as she wants. But every 5 minutes or so, I come in and just kind of take a look.
See what's going on. A 17-year-old watching over a 16-year-old.
But the other, and but this, there's another point that comes up with these deciding net nanny or whatever. They're not only do they make adults have to have the same kind of information as kids, but just say you're going to make everybody under 18 go to the net nanny thing. Then what you're saying is that what a 16-year-old can handle is the same thing as what a 5-year-old can handle. And, you know, my feeling is a 16-year-old who can't talk to their parent about birth control and is looking for that information on the net, we want them to look for that information on the net.
Sure.
That is a good thing. That is not a bad thing for them to learn about the, you know, and a 15-year-old who's questioning their sexuality, now they're not allowed to talk about homosexuality in the schools unless they talk about crimes and things like that. You want people to find out information.
Yep. We're talking with Deborah Ross, Executive Director and Legal Director of ACLU of North Carolina. Larry, I know I was holding you back.
Oh, no, no, I agree with Deborah. You know, you and I have had this disagreements about this. The analogy I always make is when your kid walks down the street in a city, they see things that are as blatant, if not more so, than anything they see on the Internet. So are we going to close down the cities?
Right.
It's an issue of where the responsibility comes. And I guess I find it real interesting that the same people who want to censor the Internet were rushing to put onto the Internet hundreds of pages of material for political reasons that contained pornography that I wouldn't want, that I didn't want to read, let alone letting it out. So the hypocrisy of it all is real blatant. It's certainly no one is saying you don't want to protect your children.
No, I mean,
whose responsibility is it?
Yours, mine.
We also have had on here, and we have on here sort of regularly, a young lady who's in high school, and we ask her how long it took her to break through net nanny.
Oh, yeah. A
few minutes.
Yeah.
So none of this stuff works. That's the other part. It really doesn't work without adult supervision or responsible supervision. And so the software becomes a way, it's like the V-chip becomes a way to avoid responsibility.
Right. And judgment, again, a way to avoid judgment.
So what do you have to say about that?
I would like to also ask or bring up the point that who's going to make that judgment is such a crucial decision, and thought that maybe Deborah would tell the story of the day we sat in a House committee in the General Assembly when they tried to get that library bill passed.
Where you're listening to, we're talking with Paula Wolf, who is... Paula, introduce yourself. What's your title?
I'm the chief lobbyist for the Covenant with North Carolina's Children.
Okay.
And so, we are obviously in the business of protecting children, but again, not to the detriment of giving up who makes the decision. I mean, that's a crucial point in all of this. The bill that they tried to pass, the extreme right wing of the Republican Party tried to pass a bill that would have stopped librarians from allowing children on the even to get a book.
Right.
And the people behind it were these very extreme Christian coalition type folks who ran parochial schools, but it wouldn't just apply to them.
That's the
right.
Problem. It would apply to every. It was actually a really interesting bill. I mean, it was the classic, completely unconstitutional bill. It would prohibit anybody from giving information to somebody under 18. I mean, anybody through any medium, if the information contained information about sexual acts, unnatural sexual acts. Immoral behavior. But we, you know, of course, no definitions of this. And it was hysterical because the bill sponsor really didn't understand his bill. And one of the Western legislators, who I really like, said, well, Could you tell me the difference between a sexual act and an unnatural sexual act?
You couldn't. You couldn't.
Right.
President Clinton couldn't clear that out.
So, you know, the bill obviously was killed. But, again, it was a very interesting coalition of people there opposing it. You know, it, of course, the ACLU was there, but there was a representative from the Library Association. There were people from cultural resources because, I mean, it would basically prohibit people from giving a picture of Michelangelo's David to an art student. You know, it was that broadly written, and it's the same kind of thing. I mean, really, this internet bill would censor out downloading art off art museum websites. One of the plaintiffs in this lawsuit is the OBGYNs, you know, because they have a bunch of information that's on their website.
And words that are, oh, no, we can't mention those. Can't we?
It also would censor out information about breast cancer. If you use the word breast as a word, you know, lots of valuable medical information, and it's just a sad thing.
We have not progressed very far since the 1950s when we were asking questions of who decides? Who decides what is good or bad? Who decides what is, what's the word that Lenny Bruce was always being said
for? Come on, Larry.
What? Indecent.
Oh. Right.
Mm-hmm. Indecent. Who decides that? And the choices that our children have are scary and they're dangerous and they're also wonderful, and with the proper parental supervision, they can be exciting and enlightening. And I don't want anybody closing those options for my kids.
Surprising them. Now, none of you here would disagree that the internet opened a door for abusers and people who could not bring that, I mean, the smut, let's call it smut, in front of children. And
let me tell you a story.
Okay.
Every year in North Carolina, there is a Holocaust memorial ceremony.
Right.
We have in North Carolina one of the very few states that has a Holocaust council, or a commission, I'm sorry, a state-level commission to remember the Holocaust victims and the incidents. We came out of the memorial ceremony, which is ecumenical and all-inclusive, and all of us had on our car windshield wipers a brochure from a place in California that's existed for years, which basically says the Holocaust is a hoax, it didn't exist, Jews didn't die, blah, blah, blah. That's just in a brochure form.
Right.
They've been writing information in books and leafleting people for years and years saying this information. Now, of course, they can get it out faster on the internet, but it's been in existence for a long time. And there's a professor at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, who's written books on this, saying that the Holocaust didn't exist. Did we censor him? Hell no, he got tenure.
Well, Amnon, there's another important thing to remember. You know, we're talking about people who are preying on kids and all the rest and bad uses of the internet. But this particular law, this son of CDA, doesn't really get to that. And I want to read you just two sentences from a letter that the Justice Department wrote to Congress encouraging them not to pass this internet censorship law. It says, the department's, and this is the Justice Department's, enforcement of a new criminal prohibition, such as that proposed in the Child Online Pornography Act, could require the undesirable diversion of critical investigative and prosecutorial resources that the department currently invests in combating traffickers in hardcore child pornography, in thwarting child predators, and in prosecuting large-scale and multi-district commercial distributors of obscene materials. And then it goes on for another paragraph to talk about all the different things that they've now started to prosecute. And it's a good thing that they're prosecuting this. But they don't want to have to run around and figure out every single person who uses the word sex mm-hmm. on the Internet so that they can find them. They want to go after the real bad people who are doing the real bad illegal things.
Okay.
Let's let them do their job.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All
right. Thank you for having Deborah on.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks,
Paula. Mm-hmm. And your calls are coming up next right here on 850. The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number again, 860-0850, pound 850 on an Altel cell phone. It's a free call, 860-0850. We are talking with Deborah Ross, Executive Director and Legal Director of the ACLU of North Carolina. And Larry is back in town.
He's back.
He's back. There were a couple of things here that I wanted to mention that happened this week. This week. This is from EduPage.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of news that I like. Spammer sued by Washington State. The owner of a company called Natural Instincts is being charged by Washington State for violation of its four-month-old legislation against sending unsolicited bulk email spamming. The solicitations, which used forged return addresses and were sent under the subject line, "Did I get the right email address?" offered customers access to 50,000-plus email addresses for $39.95. Washington Attorney General Christine Gregoire says that the message clearly crossed the boundary from being annoying to being illegal. Stuff like that. Now, if that person, Deborah, that's for you. If that person
mm-hmm.
called the ACLU and said, they violated my rights,
mm-hmm.
what would you say?
I would say I need to research spamming.
Okay, never mind. Okay. See?
Sorry.
I forget I'm dealing with an attorney.
Well, that's right. They say
okay.
nothing.
Larry, you're sitting over there. Does she have a thing on her back? Okay, what else happened? Look at this, and imagine this happening here. Tadahiro Sekimoto, the 71-year-old chairman of NEC, the world's second-largest manufacturer of computer chips, has resigned because of NEC's involvement in a scheme to overcharge the Japanese military on procurement contracts. Although Mr. Sekimoto was not personally linked to the scandal, it is a Japanese practice to demand the resignation of senior executives when the companies they run have sinned.
I love it. The only problem with that, and I was a professional student of China and Japan. I lived in Japan for several years. I mean, that sounds worse than it is. What he does is he resigns to the local country club and plays golf the rest of his life. So it's not like he's been banned. But it would be nice to see a little humility among some of our CEOs. I got a few in mind.
Coming up
after
the next break. It's just amazing that the CEO has to, and he probably didn't know about this.
Well, what is good is that there is some semblance still in Japan of social responsibility that business has to the community. We're in a situation in this country, I think, where we're becoming more and more of a corporate culture, where organizations control things in the name of organizations rather than the name of people. And I think that's why so many of us look for the right company to work for, or so on and so forth, to find a company that cares.
For AOL and potential AOL customers.
Speaking of companies that don't care.
Some new AOL subscribers in New Hampshire and Maine have found that local calls to connect to the service were routed to a long-distance number and resulted in unexpected long-distance bills. AOL claims that phone companies have been misrouting the calls, but the assertion is disputed by an executive of the Maine Public Utilities Commission who says it's not the phone company, it's solely AOL, their installation disk. It has access to AOL databases, of numbers, but is not dialing the right one. And you know how many people are don't even know what number they're dialing because it's automatic. You know, it comes up in the installation, ask where you are, and that's it. So I would suggest that people will look at the number that their modem is dialing when you dial AOL or any national internet service provider that has an automatic installation disk, and make sure that you are dialing the local number. Don't yell at the kid for making long distance calls. You know, it may be you that are doing it.
Don't you like that though? The two stories you read. One about a Japanese guy taking personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
The other about these companies pointing
right.
at each other. Shows you something about what's going on.
And your calls are coming up next right here on 850, The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 98 on 850, The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, pound 850, on an Alltel cell phone. It's a free call. We are talking with Deborah Ross, Executive Director and Legal Director of the ACLU of North Carolina. And coming up next hour, around the 9:20, we're giving away Microsoft Money 99 Fast and Easy, a book by Prima Press. Before we do that, in right now, guess what's coming up?
And now,
I know you all miss me. The evil empire is back. Last week, the news from the evil empire included the release of Service Pack 4 for NT.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a mere 38 meg download. This is the latest addition to bring NT 4.0 halfway to NT 5.0, which the second news from last week is there is no NT 5.0.
There is no NT 5.0.
They've renamed it. This is where Microsoft's marketing and Microsoft's tech people get themselves all bollocked up. NT ceases to exist. After years of hearing NT and using NT, it will now be called Windows 2000. So now we have Windows 98 and Windows 2000.
Right.
And I guess NT 4 with Service Pack 4 is Windows 1999?
I don't know.
It gets very complicated. Anyway, Windows 2000 is the name of Windows NT 5.0. Microsoft will sell it in four different editions. There will be no longer NT Workstation, NT Server. Mm-hmm. There's going to be Windows 2000 Professional Edition, Windows 2000 Enterprise Edition, Windows 2000 Data Server Edition, and Windows 2000 Who the Hell Knows But Let's Charge You More Money Edition.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps going up. The other news from that last week that's interesting to some of you out there.
Let's talk about the 2000.
What about
There's another 2000. It's not going to be Office 99.
No, Office 2000 came out.
Everything is going to be 2000.
Of course.
Okay.
Getting ready for the millennium.
Yep. Uh-huh.
The medieval empire will rule. I was at TechNet 2 weeks ago when Microsoft came to town to introduce Office 2000. Saw a demo of it. And we'll talk about that sometime.
Okay.
This next week, SQL 7, SQL Server 7, is going to be introduced, which is not as technical as you may think because it's going to be Microsoft's database management tool for the future. For developers and for to use to manage data. And lastly, the evil empire and its court battle against the Department of Justice. I thought I'd give you just a brief update, even though the details you can read in the paper any day. But
brief detail.
Brief detail, yes. Detail briefs. We have a lawyer here. I got to be careful. what DOJ has to prove in a nutshell is that Microsoft's a monopoly. Well, that's a slam dunk.
Okay.
Because they already control 85% of the operating systems in the world, and they control 90% of the office suites. So they got that one done.
Okay.
The hard one that they have to prove is that Microsoft has unfairly used this monopoly to thwart competition. And that gets real dicey because the key players in the case are people like Barksdale, who's the CEO of Netscape.
Mm-hmm.
Scott McNeely, who's the CEO of Sun, Larry Ellison, who's the CEO of Oracle. If all these names are not familiar to you, let me tell you that they play in the same sandbox as Bill.
Right.
They're billionaires. And so this is really, has nothing, I keep going back to this, has nothing to do with us. This is just a game that, you know, mine is more, is worth more than yours, and we all want the government to get involved in it, except no one really does. No one wins out of this. So the case goes on. There's supposedly only 12 witnesses. The judge in the case is limited each side to 12 witnesses. The testimony is presented in advance. There's only cross-examination. The prediction is that Microsoft's going to lose the first round, then it's going to go back to appeal where they'll win, and we'll see.
The lawyers make money.
Oh, I'd like to be in this one at an hourly rate. They make lots of money, at least on the private side. I don't know what Justice Department lawyers make.
Oh.
Not much.
Not, you know that with
So ACLU lawyers make less than Justice Department.
So that happened to the Evil Empire last week, and we'll keep you updated.
And I've got a little other tidbit here, and I want you to read that thing. I forgot to give it to you, and we'll talk about it next hour. And this is from Education. In the Microsoft antitrust trial, Microsoft has accused Netscape of setting up a June 95 meeting between executives of the two companies for the express purpose of manufacturing evidence against Microsoft. With Netscape President James Barksdale in the witness stand, Microsoft attorney John Wardens asked, "Isn't it a fact, Mr. Barksdale, that the June 21st, 1995 meeting was held for the purpose of creating something that could be called a record that could be delivered to the Department of Justice to spur them on the action against Microsoft?" Barksdale answered, "That's absurd."
Yeah. This is the same guy who wrote, who has an email that they have introduced in the court to Steve Case, who is the chair of AOL, one of our favorite companies, that says, "Barksdale to Case, let's get together and kill Microsoft."
There you are, right.
End of email.
And your calls are coming up next, right here on 850, The Buzz.